The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thanks, David. At the moment in our morning services, we've been looking at this theme of blessings and what's it mean to be a blessing and to pray blessings over our church. And we've been talking of this in the context that a blessing is to speak God's intentions or favour over someone or some situation to help them move from where they are to where God wants them to be, for his favour to be so expressed upon them in who they are and what they do. And last week, this was what we talked about, was at Rangeville Community Church, I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ that he may attract people to meet with God and know God personally so that their lives realign to God's good plans and purposes for them, and that God would use us to make many disciples of Jesus Christ who make disciples of Jesus Christ. And as I've explained, this series of blessings that we've been looking at over the last number of weeks has been my own personal prayer over the last few years. Each day I pray this over our church and believing that God is moving through it. And last week, collectively, we shared in speaking this out together. And I believe that makes a difference. And I believe we see the fruit of faithful expectation as God moves people from where they are to where he wants them to be. And so an example of that was that last Sunday we had the joy of seeing someone who's been part of one of our life groups. In our life groups, we've got people from other churches, we've got people who are on a journey to come to know Jesus, people who know Jesus. And last Sunday we saw someone who had been part of one of our life groups come to that point of saying, I want to become part of God's family. I want to choose to put my faith in Jesus Christ. And so we celebrated that. And then on Tuesday afternoon, I had the joy that I've been meeting with someone for about the last number of weeks, as this person was wanting to talk about spirituality and who is God and who is Jesus and what that might mean for their life. And so we've been reading a passage of the Bible together each week and inviting the Holy Spirit to show himself to this person. And on Tuesday afternoon, that person, having read a passage of Scripture, said, that's what I want. I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ. And so we got to celebrate that. And so there we were in just a couple of days at the start of the week, living out this blessing that we've been speaking. Is anyone else excited about that, or is it just me? I really believe that when we speak these words, that God is empowering them. God's releasing them through you. Into our community, into taking people from where they are to where he wants them to be. And so today, as we continue on in this theme of blessing, taking the words that David just read to us about the kingdom of God. As a church, we've talked a lot about being a healthy, kingdom-minded church. We've talked a lot about what it means to be releasing the kingdom of God. And so these two parables that David just read to us are both parables about the kingdom of God. Well, when we look at Mark's gospel, the first words that are reported in Mark's gospel as Jesus having spoken those words are about the kingdom of God. This is what was said. Jesus said, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And so we're seeing that Jesus told many parables about the kingdom of God. And according to Mark's gospel, the first thing Jesus said as part of his public ministry was about the kingdom of God. So it's obviously really significant. And yet, when we hear this word kingdom, in our Australian democratic culture, we don't understand that word. We don't actually have a true depth of understanding of what kingdom means. And David, having just prayed for our Prime Minister, the Australian culture, if you look at a lot of the media, does not really respect the person who is our Prime Minister. There's a lot of degradation and a lot of negativity in reporting and commentary about him. And so if that's our Prime Minister, what about our Queen? I mean, most people really don't have an appreciation for the role of the position of Queen as head of our nation. The concept of kingdom isn't something that we really understand. So what is kingdom? Well, kingdom simply means the domain of the king. So the word king and dom meaning domain. And so it's the domain of the king, or in Australia's context, or the Commonwealth, the domain of the queen, the monarchy. And so when we think about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the domain of God. The area where or place where God has his dominion, where he rules and reigns. And when we think about the kingdom of God, the king is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the king. He is the king of kings. And so what does the kingdom of God look like? Well, there's many different definitions, there's many different understandings of what the kingdom of God is, depending on your theology or perspective, and even within that, there's many different facets of it. Today I want to pick up on just one aspect of what the kingdom of God is. And earlier we saw that in Mark's gospel, when Jesus came, the first thing he talked about was the kingdom of God has come near. As we saw last week, Jesus wasn't into solo ministry, rather he was about building up a group of people who would become his disciples. He would teach them and then he would send them out. And when he sent them out in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 9, it says he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In other words, the proclaiming, the discussing, the speaking about the kingdom of God was not just confined to Jesus. It was something that his disciples were asked to do, were sent out to do, to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. A few verses later, or several verses later in the same chapter, we see that those 12 arrived back. They're telling Jesus what they had done, and then the crowd finds out where Jesus is, and so the crowd starts to come to Jesus, and it then says he, that is Jesus, welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. And so whether it was the disciples or whether it was Jesus, there's these two aspects. There's the proclamation, the declaration, the discussion about the kingdom of God, which was associated with the healing of those who needed healing. So what's healing? Healing is restoring people back to what God intended for them. In other words, healing is addressing the negative impact of a world that's been affected by sin. And so God's kingdom is about overcoming the power of sin in our world. We see this in Matthew's gospel. We just see here in Luke's gospel that Jesus sends the 12 out. Matthew's gospel describes that same sending out, but it puts a bit more detail into it. It says this: as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of God has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. In other words, he's saying to them, address the negative impacts of sin upon this world. Where there are sick people, bring healing. Where there is death, bring life. Where there is disease, bring restoration. Where there are demonic influences in our world, address them. In other words, the kingdom of God is about restoring people and creation back to how God intends them to be. A place of blessing, a place of flourishing, a place of life and goodness. In other words, releasing the kingdom of God is about addressing the negative impacts of living in a world that's been affected by sin, by being light in the midst of darkness. And so here at Rangeville, when we talk about releasing the kingdom of God, again, we ask this question, well, how do we do that? What's that actually look like? So again, let's go back to last week. Last week I was talking about the Great Commission. When Jesus said that we, as his disciples, are to go out and make disciples. Then seeing people who put their faith in Jesus Christ, then seeing them choosing to be baptized, become part of the family of God, and then in turn teaching them to obey everything that he commanded us. So let's take this, or look at this disciple making again, as we did last week. We saw that disciple making is this spectrum. It's walking with people. And as they walk with you and you have conversations and you're answering their questions, they get to actually know about Jesus. They get to hear who Jesus really is. They have conversations in such a way that they get to know about Jesus. And then through that, for some of them, they're going to go, I actually want to know Jesus. I actually want to put my faith in him. And we celebrate that for, as a church, we've seen two more become part of the family of God, become brothers and sisters in Christ, as they get to know Jesus personally, relationally. As they choose to follow Jesus Christ for themselves, and in turn, that as they have seen that and appreciated that and loved that, that they in turn want to help people that they know come to know Jesus and get to actually know him personally and choose to put their faith in him. In that way, they become disciple makers, people who are disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. And so in this regard, I want to look at another aspect of blessing today that extends from this, and that is, how do we disciple people as a church? And so, Rangeville Community Church, I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, that he may help Rangeville, that is, the people, to disciple its people so effectively that they go out to release the kingdom of God through the manifestations of God's love, through redemption in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see here there's this aspect of who God is as Father, Son and Spirit. And so when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he used parables like the one that David read to us this morning. And we see that in this parable that there was a man who took a mustard seed and he planted it and it grew. And it grew from this tiny seedling into something that became so large that birds came and perched in it. And I suspect they didn't just perch in it, that they built their nests in it. That it became a place where they raised their young. It became a place of life. It became a place of flourishing. It became a place of new beginnings. In other words, as the kingdom of God grows, it becomes this safe haven. It becomes a place where there is flourishing and life and blessing to many others. Or we see in this second parable that the kingdom of God is like this lump of dough. This isn't a small lump of dough. How big is it? 60 pounds. That's 30 kilo. That's a big bag of flour, right? There's this huge amount of flour, and this lady takes that and she works the yeast through that, such that it takes this heavy lump of dough and it causes it to become light and soft and delicious bread. In other words, the kingdom of God is a place of transformation. Now, the interesting thing is that when we look at these two parables, they're not passive. What we saw was that the first man didn't just have his seed and go, great, I've got a seed, isn't that good? He took the seed and actively went outside and planted it. And I think there's something significant that he went outside the walls and planted it in his garden, where others who are from outside of the house are actually going to see it and appreciate it and see the beauty of it and the life-giving nature of it. But you see, there was an active role in this disciple taking the seed and planting it in order that it would flourish and grow. Or, has anyone here ever kneaded dough, like made bread? Yeah, a few people have. Yeah, it's hard work, isn't it? You know, this, and we're not talking like a little lump of dough. 60 pound. That's a big lump. And so there's active hard work involved in kneading this dough in order that the yeast would spread through it and the yeast would have its impact and cause that yeast to be a place of transformation. And so both of these things are teaching us that in playing our part in seeing the kingdom of God being released, your kingdom come, your will be done, which is the prayer we just prayed before, that there's an active role for us to go out and to be engaged in doing this. You see, Jesus as we saw last week, said that he would build his church. But in building his church, he also told us in the Great Commission that we have a role to play in making disciples. Well, in the same way, Jesus has said, go out and proclaim the kingdom of God. There is a role that we have as his disciples to be living the kingdom and releasing the kingdom wherever we go. In other words, we are called that when we go into our homes or into our schools or university, into our workplace, into the local sports club that we or our kids are involved in, or the service club you're part of, or wherever it is that you live, in your street, when we go there, we are releasing the kingdom of God and we are restoring people and we are restoring creation back to the way God intended it to be, because we are being light in the darkness. Because we are addressing the impact of sin by releasing healing into people's lives or into the world around about us. So how do we do this? Well, again, there's many different ways that we release the kingdom of God, but I want to just focus on three aspects this morning, which is that aspect of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so this is through the manifestations of God's love, is through the redemption through Jesus Christ, as by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you notice we keep going back to this theme of love? We've talked a lot about love in the last weeks. Why? Because God is love. 1 John 4 is a passage that's been really significant to this church for many, many years, in fact for a few decades. And I want to take this passage from 1 John 4 and just look at this aspect of Father, Son and Spirit as this passage describes it. So from 1 John 4, starting at verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we've seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them." So as we reflect on what it means then to be speaking a blessing over this church, that God would take us from where we are to where he wants us to be, and we've been talking about what it means to be the kingdom of God and releasing the kingdom of God, then we've just seen God is love. And that we are called to manifest God's love wherever we are. And so we don't do this in our own strength. We don't do this out of a sense of guilt that, oh, there's someone who's really struggling and poor. Because of that, I'm going to show them love. No, we do this because God so loves us and his love flows through us and through us to those in need. See, a number of weeks ago we talked about the passage of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus, having described what happens there, says, well, which one here is the neighbour? And the teacher of the law answers him, well, the one who showed mercy. Jesus says, good, go and do that. Go and show mercy, because that's an expression of God's love to those in need. And so we are called to love our neighbour in that way. That's manifesting God's love in our community. But then as well as that, we manifest God's love within the church by the way we love one another. In other words, the way we care for one another, the way we pray for one another, the way we teach one another, the way we admonish one another, the way we encourage one another, the way we forgive one another. All of these one another's are aspects of what it means to love one another. And as we love one another, that is a manifestation of God's love that actually becomes a very powerful witness to those who don't know Jesus yet. Because Jesus said this in John 13, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Who will know? Just those within the church? No. Everyone. They will see what it looks like to be a loving community and they go, that looks so beautiful, I want to know more about that. This is the beautiful manifestation of God's love. And so this is the love of God coming to us and through us to those around about us. But it's the foundation of it is God's love. And God's love, his incredible love for us, is described in this passage in 1 John 4. In these words that we just looked at. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In other words, the manifestation of God's love is evident through redemption through Jesus Christ. The redemption of Jesus Christ, who came and lived here on earth among us, who died on the cross for us, and through dying on the cross defeated the power of Satan, defeated the power of sin, that the kingdom of God would overcome the kingdom of darkness. You see, redemption is only possible through Jesus Christ. And we who know Jesus Christ are the recipients of that redemption. But in turn, we're not just to sit there and go, I've been saved, how good's that? Yes, we should do that. But in addition to that, we're not only called to be the recipients, we're called to be the evidence of his redemption. It's supposed to be so evident in who we are and who we are becoming in Christ that it becomes a witness to the world around about us. So that as disciples, we fulfill the Great Commission in making disciples. Who in turn will make disciples. Who in turn will see lives realigning to God's good plans and purposes for them. And that will bring transformation into their family. That will bring transformation into their workplace, into their school, into their service club or sports club or wherever it is that God's placed you. And that blesses our city. That blesses our region. That blesses wherever you go as his children. This is part of what it means to be restoring people and creation back to the way God always intended it to be. In other words, this is part of addressing the negative impact of sin in our society by seeing the kingdom of God being released and empowered. And all of this through the love of a Father who sent his Son that we might have redemption through Jesus Christ. And then we see this incredible love of the Father and then his Son who was returned back to heaven to be with the Father, to sit at the right hand of the Father, who then sends the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come. And as we continue through 1 John 4, it then said this, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. Capital S meaning Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit here is the Holy Spirit that comes and lives in us and that then brings power into who we are and what we do in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit who teaches us according to Scripture. Who leads us and guides us in what we do. Who empowers us as disciples of Jesus Christ. Therefore we go in the power of the Holy Spirit to release the kingdom of God. And so as a church, we seek to bless this church, us as a people. That he may help us to disciple its people so effectively that we go out to release the kingdom of God through the manifestations of God's love, redemption through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, God in turn gifts his people with gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore we want to extend this blessing to say that Jesus would cause each of us to flourish by knowing and using our spiritual and natural gifts. Now, many of you here know that prior to coming on team here at Rangeville, I was involved in medical research. And very early on in my career, just after I'd finished my PhD, I came back to Australia and I was working with the CSIRO, the Department of Primary Industries, in a university in what was called the Tropical Beef Centre. My role there was a really fun role. It was bringing medical science into the agricultural industry to try and improve muscle growth and function in beef cattle. While I was there, I learned that there are two major strains of beef cattle. And that is, there's one called Bos Taurus and one called Bos Indicus. Have you ever heard of these terms? Yeah, Bos Taurus and Bos Indicus. Yeah, some of you have, and some of you are going, I thought they were cows. But what we discover is that there's this group of cattle called Bos Taurus. Now, aren't they fine-looking specimens? Angus, Herefords, Charolais, Limousins, Simmentals. We often call them European breeds. They have come from mainly Europe. They're used to cold temperatures in the winter. They have a capacity usually to grow much more quickly. They muscle very, very well. Although they muscle well, their meat is much more tender in most cases. It's better marbled. They're more likely to become fat. And one of the key things about these European breeds or Bos Taurus is they're good in the cold. So, for instance, these little ones, they're called Scottish Highlanders. And the Scottish Highlanders, look at how shaggy it is. You can lose your hands when you put them into its hair. And so these ones handle the cold really, really well. Now, on the other hand, we have Bos Indicus. Bos Indicus are really evident, first by this big hump that sits over the back of the neck and over the front shoulder. Secondly, they're evident because they've got big ears. Maybe that's for flapping the flies away. But they've got classically big ears. But the fascinating thing is aspects around their physiology or metabolism. That is, they have an incredible ability to be drought tolerant. They can eat very poor food and still grow. And as well as that, they've got an innate capacity to be much more resistant to cattle ticks and to worms. So they can handle the tropical environments where there's a lot more of those parasites compared to Bos Taurus cattle that would really struggle. So imagine here, if you put this Scottish Highlander in tropical Queensland. He's going to get a bit hot, isn't he? Imagine if you put that Brahman cow and calf down in Tasmania in a week like we just had. How's it going to handle it? Not very well. But you see, if you put the right type of beef cattle into the right environment, they will flourish. They will grow wonderfully and they'll bring economic prosperity to the grazier. See, it's about having the right animal type in the right place. And I just want to use that as an example to say that if you are in the right place as God has made you to be with your gifts and your abilities and your experiences of life, and you are in the right place, you're going to flourish and you're going to grow and you're going to bring prosperity and goodness to those around about you. But if you're in the wrong place, it's going to be really hard going. Really hard going, just like that Highlander in the tropics. You see, God has made every one of you unique and beautiful and wonderful in your own way. And for some of you, he's given different personalities. Some of you are choleric, some are sanguine, some are melancholy, some are phlegmatic. And that really affects the things that you enjoy doing or not doing. It affects the things where you flourish because you are around people and you love being around people, or you are so drained because you are around people and you don't like being around people. And neither is right or wrong. It's a case of who are you and where do you flourish best? It's the same as some of you are just naturally really athletic. Some of you are just naturally really tech savvy. Some of you are incredibly creative and you can play musical instruments in ways that most of us cannot and maybe should not. These are all aspects of how God made you. And so God wants you to be in a place where you flourish. But then in addition to that, when you have faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is living in you, the Holy Spirit is releasing other gifts to you as well. And God is desiring that you would use those gifts in order that you would bring flourishing around about you. And so we see this described. Today I'm not going to discuss how do you know your gifts or even what are all the types of gifts. We've talked about that before and we'll talk about that again sometime in the future. But today it's my prayer that each of you would be in a journey of coming to know who you are, your personality, the life experiences you have, the gifts that are natural gifts that you have, and the spiritual gifts that you are given as gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that you'll be in a place where you flourish and grow. But again, not just in order that you would feel good about being so gifted and being in the right place, but because through that you would be releasing the kingdom of God. So when we look at this well-known passage from 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about gifts, it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, capital S, meaning Holy Spirit, that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. In other words, you can see there from what I've highlighted, God's saying, I want you to take these gifts that I've given you, natural gifts and this particular passage here, spiritual gifts, and I want you to use them to serve. I want you to use those and work them out in your life, that they be expressed, manifested in your life, and in order that they be worked out in your community to bring blessing. So that in all of them, in every one, we would see God at work. Or Peter, the Apostle Peter, wrote this in a letter that he wrote, when he said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. So in this passage, it's saying again that whatever gift it is that you have, that you've been given, you should use it to serve others. Yes, you are blessed with it. Yes, you are to flourish with it. And you flourish with it, that you may also serve and see the kingdom of God being released, in order that in all of those things, as each of us are where God's called us to be, doing what God has called us to do, that that would bring glory and honour to God, that God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. You see, this is what this passage is about, is receive the gifts, use the gifts, glorify God through the use of those. Because you see, when we are doing that, we flourish. And when we flourish, we are releasing the kingdom of God in powerful ways, in beautiful ways, across our community. We are in turn playing our part to see the kingdom of light being established in greater ways and the kingdom of darkness diminished. We're seeing that the impact of sin in our society is being diminished through healthy families, through healthy and better workplaces, through sports clubs where there's just such a camaraderie and good sportsmanship and all of these aspects there. Our desire here is to be restoring people and creation back to the way, or at a how, God intended them to be. in order that we'd be addressing the negative impacts of living in a world that's been affected by sin. And because Jesus overcame the power of sin, and because Jesus is living in us, we are releasing the kingdom and seeing the world around us being transformed. And so, as we have done the previous weeks, I'd invite you that if you're comfortable to do so, would you speak these words of blessing out over our church family today as Rangeville Community Church? Would you join with me? Rangeville Community Church, I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, that he may help Rangeville to disciple its people so effectively that they can go out to release the kingdom of God through the manifestations of God's love, redemption through Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, that he may cause each of us to flourish by knowing and using our spiritual and natural gifts. And so as we do at the end of every service, I just want to wrap up with a couple of minutes just to stop and reflect, to ask these two questions. What did God say to me today? Was God speaking to you about flourishing, about gifts, about the manifestation of his love in you or as you receive it, about being redeemed? And maybe you want to ask questions about what it means to be redeemed by Jesus Christ. What's it mean to know or walk in the power of the Spirit? What are my gifts? Whatever it is that you've been sitting there going, I wonder. Maybe that's God speaking to you. Take a moment and reflect and say, God, what do you want to say to me today? And then just as we saw in that parable that the man took a seed and he went outside and he planted it, or a woman took the dough and she kneaded it, or Jesus sent the disciples out to do something, ask yourself the next question, what do I do with what I've just heard? Is there an action I need to take in response to this? Just ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And so, Father God, as we go out from here today, I pray your blessings upon each and every one who's gathered here, each one who's joining with us online. I pray, Father God, that you would so fill them with your love, with an awareness of the redemptive power of Jesus Christ in their life, of the empowering of the Holy Spirit who dwells within. And for those who are wanting to know who Jesus is, that they'd be just increasingly aware of that love you have for them, of the redemption that is available for them. I pray, Father God, that as we go out this week into homes and into educational places and into streets and workplaces and sports clubs and community clubs, that, Lord, your people would be manifestations of your love. They'd be evidence of the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. They'd walk in a way of life that flourishes because they're where they're meant to be, doing what they're meant to be doing, exercising the gifts of the Spirit as well as the natural gifts that you've given them. That, Lord, we would see the kingdom of God increasingly released in this city, in this region, in this nation. I ask this as a blessing over each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 361 144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.